I'm not really a big advocate of, it's funny how God works, how a second tradition works, right? But I believe in the process, you know. I'm not a real big advocate of, like, men's meetings and women's meetings and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that to ruffle anybody's feathers. I just know that I suffer with a sickness, an illness called addiction, that wants to separate me from you. And it likes to find any way to do that. You know what I mean? That's its job. It's somehow telling me that I am different from you. So it can get me by myself, which is my worst enemy, me, so I can go back to slowly killing myself again with the use of drugs. So when they called and they asked me to speak and they talked to me about speaking and they said the men's rap and I just surrendered to, so I really don't, I just got a message, man. It's my story, my experience, strength, and hope, man. So, and staying open-minded, right? Cause that shit's indispensable is what it says and how it works. I surrendered to where yin's put me. That God spoke through their group conscience and they put me here, right? But my clean date's April 22nd, 2002, man. And I wish I could say that was my first clean date. And I read the reading today, the Just for Today reading at work. And I love this retreat. I love coming here. I love a lot of people here. I love a lot of people on the committee here. But I had to work, you know. Had to surrender to that fact. Right. Not only did the owner want me to work, in my financial condition, I need to work. Right. I mean, there's the reality of it, too. You really want to get to it. So I couldn't make it up here. I made it up here for a minute last night. I seen a good friend of mine. But today's reading was talking about choosing life, choosing recovery. And I was talking to my good friend last night. You know, we were riding around, and I met him up in Somerset, and we were riding around. And I said, and it's odd, I just went through this week with some people. A in my life is staying clean. It's just, because see, I'm a guy that had almost 8 years clean and used. Because I forgot. A is staying clean. So that's sort of how I got geared today. And I was thinking, you know, a friend texted me yesterday and they said, do you know so-and-so? You remember so-and-so from this town? And, you know, and he's dead. You know, and a young man, like in his 30s. It had years of recovery. But he forgot about A. Staying clean. You know what I mean? And it saddened me, man. It saddened me. And I'm real grateful because I know a lot of people that truthfully probably have a lot more on the ball than me, probably are more talented than me, I have a lot more potential than me, that had this and can't get a freaking debt. Right? So I just want to say that, man. And so I don't know, like I said, I don't know where this is going. I've come up to share my experience. And my experience is, I know if I stay clean, the literature says I have limitless possibilities. But if I use, I don't know about anybody else. The way I'm geared when I'm using, I'm either using, thinking about using, figuring out a way to get money to use, trying to use. It's all, my whole day is geared on getting high. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I was thinking about that today, man. And I felt real sad for his family and all that, man. And that's the reality of it. And me and my friend was talking last night about somebody we know that, you know, and I was thinking about this on the way home because it's a little drive. I live about 35 minutes from here. I had to drive back down the mountain last night. And we know somebody. It's a good friend of ours. And he says, I need some time away to figure out what I need to do. And I was thinking, what you need to do is a 90 and 90. That's what you need to do. If you're an addict like me and you're caught in that type of mental grip, What you probably need to do is a 90 and 90. I've done them before with years clean. They've been beautiful. With a decade clean, I've done a 90 and 90. You know what I mean? Because to get back in the flow of love. To remember where I come from. To get back to why I'm here. You know what I mean? I didn't come here for the coffee. I didn't come here to argue at area service. I didn't come here to get the banquet at the H&I thing. I ain't why I came here. I came here because my ass was on fire. Right? But there's something about when I put my ass out, or you help me put my ass out, I forget about my ass being on fire. And I'm the guy that lights my ass on fire. Right? Thinking I need some time away to regroup with me and my thinking. With me and my thinking. That's never been good for me, man. I bring out the worst in me. And what I found out here, man, is Narcotics Anonymous brings out the best in me. That's just my message, man. That's that, like, if you want to look at my track record, if I want to inventory myself and get honest with some people, that's just the story. I make horrible decisions on my own. Horrible decisions. That's just the way I roll. It's been proven time and time again. But like praying, talking to a sponsor, talking to a support group, going to a home group, sharing about it, making a pros and cons list, I've made some pretty good decisions. But when I make them impulsively, in disease mode, with me and me, they've never really been real good, man. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Right? You know, like we always say, a good idea doesn't mean it's a spiritual idea. Right? Like I said, I don't know where I'm going to go, man, with this. That just was on my heart, man. Because I see how, that's what I was saying about the disease wants to separate me from you. You know what I mean? It wants to tell me, you got to work Saturday. Just pack it in. It's going to be 90 degrees and freaking humid. You know what I mean? Go up the mountains and throw the freaking air on in the camper. All right? You're all right. You ain't going to use today. You know what I mean? But I'm blessed. I want to say I'm blessed because I got experience to listen to this and use it again. And I made it back. You know what I'm saying? And I was confused for a long time, man. I thought drugs got me here. I'm telling you, man. And what I found out is my third step, God got me here. Because I use drugs with a lot of people, and there ain't none of them here. There ain't none of them here. So I'm real in tune with April 21st of 2002. Something touched me enough and gave me the gift of desperation to go to a meeting and get a white key tag, man. And my clean date's April 22nd. I say that because I'm a big fan in... I don't think you could smoke coke till noon. Go to a meeting at night. Get a white key tag and take that as your clean date. So my clean date's the next day. There isn't no... I know the last time I put anything in me, man. And I say that because I need to know what day the miracle happened. For me. And it was just coming in here, and the only thing that I really had going for me after being clean that long and coming back in here was I knew this worked. I knew this worked, man. And I just started, I just surrendered, man. You know, I did a 90 and 90. Prayer to prayer. Prayer to prayer. Right? Let me tell you about that. Because I was in about day 60, somewhere in there, and I rolled in at, like, what is the NA program? That's early in the readings. That's early in the process of the meeting, right? But my sponsor at the time was there. And I'm like, want some coffee, you know, doing all that, bring him a cup of coffee, this, that, whatever. Meeting's great. We're hanging out. We're talking. He's getting ready to leave. He says, I thought you were doing like 90 and 90, man. I said, I am. He says, well, the meeting's prayer to prayer. I wanted to kill him. I did. Like, this is a guy that I got clean September 20th in 93. This is a guy, his clean date's April 15th in 95. He's a guy that I was doing H&I and carried the message to. Now he's sponsoring me. Right? And the first thing my head says is, don't he know who the fuck I am? I carried the message to him. Right? I was out of my mind for like a week. Out of my mind. But he loved me enough to tell me the truth. That you're always the guy to think the rules don't apply to you. You know, I'm a guy that likes to be in the gray area. You know, in a black and white picture, there's a lot of gray. If you ever look at one. And I had to surrender to that, man. And what came to me, I knew that he had my best welfare, my best thing in hand. Like, he wasn't telling me nothing to hurt me. But it took me a few days to get over that. It took me probably about 9 months to tell him that. Saved my life, man. And he didn't do it maliciously. He just, you know, he hit me with that. So, it's been a wild journey, man. I just got married last year for the first time. That has been a journey in itself. My mother's sick, very sick. And that's been a journey. And I was talking about that last night with some people, man. But I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm so grateful for a clean date. I'm so grateful for that stuff, man. You know, we were down at Hillman Cancer Center. My mom got stage 4 lung cancer, never smoked a day in her friggin' life. Right? Did hospice, in-house, visiting hospice work for 25 years. Right? And right away, you know, that can get real twisted up in my head. If I sit around with that in my head. And I remember us being down Hillman, and she had to get some stuff done a little while ago. And it was Saturday evening, and she's saying, and I'm sitting there, and my sister and my dad's supposed to be coming, and da-da-da-da-da. And she's like, you should be going on your way to make the coffee. I said, well, it's all right. I got a couple cats on the coffee pot tonight. About 15 minutes, you know, you really ought to be going to make the coffee. Your sister and your dad are going to be here. I said, listen, if it's going to make you happy for me to go make the, if you're going to have some serenity and peace with me going and making the coffee, I'll go make the coffee, right? And what I want to say about that is, see, you want to ask people if narcotics, go ask my mom if Narcotics Anonymous works. Go ask my family members that, what they think about Narcotics Anonymous. What it's done for her son, for their brother, for, you know what I'm saying? And that just blew me away that night, man. And my sister and my dad got there, but she was more worried. I'm thinking, here you are, and she's like, you need to go make the coffee. You know? So, through this process, I've been given the tools. And I don't know how long I'm going to... I know somebody else is speaking, so I got to shut up soon. I'm just so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous and my process here. And I've had to have a lot of humility, and I had to ask for help, and I had to, you know, cry. I remember coming home the day I found out, because it went from... She was having a call. I'm going to talk about this for me. She went from, like, having a cold. She was pissed off because she had to go to the doctor, because we got a doctor that don't write scripts over the phone, right? She's like, I got to get out and see him. He goes, I think you might have pneumonia. So Monday, she went from, I'm cold, I got a cold. Tuesday, she goes to the doctor, I think you got pneumonia. Wednesday, she goes to get some pictures taken. Friday, there's an oncologist telling us this. And I'm standing there thinking, the alarm clock's going to go off, right? And it's going to be Monday morning. This is surreal, right? And I remember coming home at night to my wife, and she had the grandson was 2 at the time, and he was crying. And she goes, "What are you doing, baby?" I said, "I'm doing the same thing he's doing, crying." To have the human, you know, it's giving me the opportunity. This program is giving me the opportunity to come alive again. I should be sad. You know what I'm saying? I should feel bad, right? And it's so, you know, that's so crazy when we're new. I got anxiety. You should have anxiety. I'm depressed. You should be depressed. You should be depressed. When I got here, it was bleak. There was nothing really to be happy about. It was the bitter ends, right? You know? Thank God people like love me enough and told me that shit. You ought to be depressed. Look how you've been living your whole life, man. You know? And it's depressing. It's depressing. It's crazy. You know? Reading in the paper the other day. I'm thinking the other week. I see 24 people overdosed in Huntington, West Virginia, right? In 4 hours. I said, you know the crazy part is? There's carloads of dope fiends going down 70 right now. I hope they ain't out of that shit. Because they don't know how to do it in Huntington. The West Virginia guys don't know how to shoot dope. It's crazy, man. I'm just so grateful to be spared from that and be put here, man. And be able to come in here and say, listen, man, I don't know how to walk this piece with my mom. Right? Because you only do that once. I got no experience with that. Pray up and show up. The shit they, you know, it all goes back to the stuff I got told from the beginning. Don't use, come early, stay late. Right? It all goes back to that. All those things have brought a wealth of stuff on me. I have a great career. You know why? I went to work every day. I came early. I stayed late. Asked, what can I do? We got a chapter in a basic text called That Shit. What can you do? Right? It's paid dividends for me, man. Just following your suggestions. But like I said, I got an illness that tells me I need to regroup. Right? And you hear these people, crazy people in here. Diversity is our strength. Where the hell did that bullshit come from? We're all different. We all come different. Nobody comes the same path here. Unity is our strength. Unity. I don't know. I look in the dictionary. Unity and diversity are two different damn things. Right? We got to be unified. We got to love each other, man. Through our differences and all this, man. So I'm going to shut up. I don't know who else is speaking. Thank you so much for asking me to come on this beautiful weekend, man.
I'd like to thank Dan for sharing his experience, strength, and hope. I would like to introduce our second speaker, Vaughn W. from the Rise and Shine Group of NA in the Northeast area.
My name is Vaughn. I'm an addict.
Thank you.
first and foremost, I want to thank my predecessors. Who paved the way. Ron. Edgar. Thank you. I'm in a lot of pain right now. Because the winds of change are blowing in my life. And sometimes along this process, you can think your position in the right places, and surrounding yourself with the right people. And in the blink of an eye, you realize you're out of position. And it hurts because you're under the misconception that you're in the right spot. My clean date's August 5th of 1991, and it's only by God's grace and mercy that I'm here right now. And this thing is never ending, never stopping. It's not a process where I could go so far and pitch a tent and just figure I'm going to camp out right there. This shit is real. And it's a lot more than the drugs. And it can be painful at times. And the gratitude comes in the fact that I don't have to use over these feelings. And the gratitude comes in the fact that my situation is not unique. I am not the first person who ever thought that they was positioned in the right place and looked up in the blink of an eye and find out you're out of position. And I sure enough won't be the last person that that happens to. My disease is powerful, cunning, and baffling. And it doesn't just want me to use, you know, it wants me to stand up in front of you with 25 years and give you a message of hope. Well, the message of hope is going to come through my current pain. And the message is that no matter how I feel, I don't have to pick nothing up. And the message is just because I'm heading one way doesn't mean that I can't stop and head in another direction. That's the message. And the message is that this disease likes to play mind games and tell you that you're okay when really you're hurting inside. And I didn't know I was hurting inside up until about 20 minutes ago. I was fine, man. I was cool. About 20 minutes ago, I got hit with some real deep thoughts and a moment of clarity, and it all came real to me. Now, what I know is this. I can let go, or I can be dragged. But nonetheless, the change is going to happen. I don't like being dragged. I didn't like being dragged in active addiction, and it damn sure doesn't feel good in recovery. So I stand before you today to give you a brief glimpse of what my life was like before Narcotics Anonymous what my life has been like throughout this process. And the message is hope, and the promise is freedom. Now, the freedom isn't free. It costs something. And sometimes it costs standing up in front of a group of men as a man and crying. Sometimes it costs giving up a job, a good paying job, and moving in a different direction. It comes in all different forms. But what I know is that when I move, when I'm supposed to, Walter, that the dividends that come in from that are so, man, it's so much more than if I try to take matters into my own hand. I'm a crack fiend from New Kensington, Pennsylvania. Started using it, ate alcohol, ran addiction till I was 23. The last 3 years was all crack cocaine. And somewhere along the line, the pain of using started outweighing the pleasure. After a while, being told to get up against the car ain't no fun. So, you know, the longer I stay clean, the more truth I realize about my story. See, in early recovery, I would tell you that I did a lot of time. But upon further review, I think the... But upon further review, I think the longest stint I ever did was 6 months. And that was in the county. And that wasn't even a new county. It was Westmoreland County, that little shoebox thing. That was like a candy store. You know, it wasn't nothing happening in there. You know, that was a jail where guys, you know, if they thought they was going to fight, they made sure security was around. You know, it wasn't no hardcore thing. And what happened was, at the end of the road, the drugs stopped working for me. I remember the night of having crack and having some liquor and having some weed, and I was smoking and I was snorting and I was eating, but I still had this hole inside of me, and I just couldn't feel it. I just couldn't feel it. I couldn't smoke it away. I couldn't drink it away. I couldn't eat it away. There was nothing that would fill that hole. Now, I'm a firm believer from my own past experience that this power greater than ourselves, who I chose to call God, was working in my life long before Narcotics Anonymous. I can look back. I remember a time in a group like this, standing out on some asphalt, people rolling dice, drinking, smoking weed, hustling and dealing. And this lady came over to me and tapped me on my shoulder. She said, "Can I have a word with you?" And I'm high as a kite, man. I don't know. I'm blasted. And of course, I was a grimy dude, but respect the elders. That was something, for some reason, don't ask me why, that never like went away. I mean, as grimy as I got, I would never like disrespect an elder. It was just something in me. So, "Yes, ma'am, you may." She pulls me aside and she says, "You know, I was looking out my window, and as I looked over in this parking lot, out of all the people that's there," she says, "I saw you." And she said, "You had a halo around your head," is what she told me. Fuck my high up. I mean, totally fuck my high up, man. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, wow. And of course, when I go back over to the boys, they say, "What does she want?" I said, "Oh, she ain't talking nothing, man." You know what I'm saying? Hey, Walter, she ain't talking nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I don't want to show them. You know, I didn't want to show them that I had a side of me that was like, you know, like, it was like, okay, man, for someone to say something. You know, that did not make me a weak individual. You understand what I'm saying? And when I look back time and time and time again, there's stories like that in my life. And at my end of my run, and my wife, who's in long-term recovery, who introduced me to this fellowship, In the midst of a full-blown crack addiction, she takes a hit off the pipe and looks over at me and she says, "Honey, I am not going to live like this forever." And I said, "I'm not sure what you got, but pass that shit over here, because clearly something's not right." And so as I did my little thing and I took the hit off the crack, it dawned on me, because, you know, at the end of the road, like, moments of clarity were popping in and out, man. Like, I mean, in the midst of getting high, moments of clarity would just hit me and hit me. And I knew that my wife was real involved in the church. And I knew that she lived a different lifestyle before active addiction. So part of that shit started making a little sense, like she might be on to something here. And I remember saying to her, I said, "Honey, if you ever get out of this, don't leave me out here." And I was serious, Walter. In that moment, "Don't fucking leave me out here. Please. Don't leave me out here." And my man, where's he at? He's here. Right there. It was his crack house, Barry. It was my man Barry's crack house. And then me, him, and Lori, we're sitting there. This is true. And about 10 minutes later, he said, "Don't forget about me." So, you can't tell me that a God wasn't working in my life way before I came to Narcotics Anonymous. And then, as soon as I got here, it dawned on me that getting high wasn't all my problem. I thought once I put the crack pipe down in rehab that every day was going to be sunny. That was the biggest misconception. It came real quick that there was a lot more going on with me than drugs.
Come on.
But here's the thing. The literature told me that it could help me. I didn't have to go out and do a, you know, this wasn't no algebraic equation. This was simple shit. 1 + 1 = 2. See John run. It wasn't complicated. The program laid it out to me real lean and clean, man, real simple. And I had my predecessors, they was living it right in front of my eyes. So this wasn't no hocus pocus. This wasn't no magical shit. This was real. I saw it right in front of my eye. And I caught on to the terms that, man, it's good to be clean, and staying clean has to come first. But shit, there's a lot of people clean. There's a lot of people running around clean. When's the change going to come in, Vaughn? When you going to stop trying to sell dope, Vaughn? When you going to stop switching tags, Vaughn? When you going to stop trying to manipulate situations, Vaughn? When you going to stop stealing pens and pencils and magic markers and shit from your job because you think you're a stockholder and shit? you think you own part of the company because you got some shares, so it's okay to go up to the machine and take all kind of pens and shit home. Not cool, man. Not cool. Well, when you going to start treating your wife with respect, Vaughn, and quit talking to her like she's a nobody? When you going to learn to set your ego aside, Vaughn, and take some direction from somebody who knows what they're talking about? My sick ass thinking ended me up in horrible places. When was that going to change? I couldn't grasp the concept of people coming, and I still don't get it. What the hell do you come around to a 12-step fellowship if you ain't going to work the 12 steps? That don't make no sense to me. Shit, you could do that other shit at Eaton Park. You know what I'm saying? You could go hang out at a local any motherfucking place, man, if you don't want to work the steps. This is a 12-step fellowship. Right? Well, my boy, if it was a BMW club, y'all motherfuckers have all kind of BMWs lined up out there. But it's a 12-step fellowship. So, I caught on to that fast because being clean wasn't enough. And it's still not enough. Because as I learn, my disease learns. As I grow, my disease grows. When situations change, my disease, it adjusts to the situations. I don't wake up in the mornings wanting to smoke crack and get high anymore. But throughout the course of every single day, there's always a sick thought trying to enter my head. And if I don't know this literature, if I'm not working on something to be able to combat that, I'm going to get sucked in, because relapse can last for 15 fucking years before I put something in me. It's a slow thing. It's gradual, man. It ain't, it's not the big things that try to get me. It's the little things. That's why our literature uses that word called vigilant. Vigilant means I got to have this thing on the swivel, man. I got to be looking all around. And I got to have some people around me that can see this shit back here. Because I can't see back here. I need some people speaking into my life to say, Vaughn, back there's jacked up, man. Like seriously, run that, sometimes I'll be driving and I'll have this thought. And I'll say to myself, man, run that shit by your sponsor. And I say, man, fuck that. I'm not doing it. That's crazy. But thank God I got some people to run it by. Thank God I surrounded myself with some people that like to run it by. And the reason why I'm in so much pain right now is because that shit got to take another shift. It's time to shift it up a little bit, because I'm getting comfortable with the people that I'm around. You understand? It ain't got nothing to do with them. It's me, man. It's me. I'm looking for something more right now. And I'm not getting it with the people that I'm surrounding myself with, but it's not their fault. I'm responsible for my recovery. I can't expect them to go change. Clearly, they're okay. They ain't standing up in front of 50 guys crying and shit. That's me, man. I'm the one that has to make the change. And that's what this program has done. It has conditioned me to come to certain points in my life and look at it and say, Vaughn, the winds of change are blowing, man. The winds of change are blowing. And the reason why there's so much emotion behind it is because, not because I don't really want to change, but damn, man, I sort of like some of these cats, man. You understand? I sort of like some of them. But it's time to change. It's time. I got to change my shit up. I got to keep her fresh, Walter. I can't let my recovery get stagnant. I can't just camp out and be okay. You understand what I'm saying? So, and it is that time. And you know what I know from my experience is that it's okay. It's okay. Thank God I can stand here clean and in my right mind and come to that realization. I ain't somewhere locked up in the bathroom on a beautiful sunny day like today waiting on somebody to come back when you know damn well they ain't coming back. Waiting on the dope man to come. He said he'd be here in 15 minutes. It's 5 hours later, man. I ain't moving, Walter. Wouldn't move. Days like this, I had on sweats and shit. And in the wintertime, it was a windbreaker. It never matched up and shit, man. Like, I never had the down coat in the winter, and in the summer, like, the shorts and a nice shirt. It was always the opposite with me, because all my shit was spread all over the place. And I was just grabbing shit just to grab shit. It was either that or be butt naked and shit, you know? So what this program has shown me is that I need men in my life, and I need people who are there, who I'm reaching for, man. I have to continue to reach. I can't keep pulling up, man. I gotta reach out too, Walter. And that's what happens. See, that's how my disease is, man. It's like, change this shit up, Vaughn. Get around some people that got more time than you. In my area, 25 years, motherfuckers think you walk on water and shit. And it's not like that. it's so bad when someone say, how you doing? When I say, man, it's been rough. They say, oh, you'll be okay. Well, really? No, seriously, really? Let me run that shit by Ron. Let me run it by Walter. Let me hit Eckert with that. That they're not going to say, oh, they're going to say, they want to know more. They're going to take the time. They're going to want to know more. And then they're going to share their experience, strength, and hope with me. That's what it's all about, man. Sometimes I got to get deep down and dirty with this shit. Because the disease will try to dress things up and it'll make look like everything's lining up in your life. And I do have a lot of good things going on in my life. Hell, I'm a doctor. What the hell? Who does that shit, Walter? No, seriously, who does that shit? You go from a crack house to being a doctor. Only Narcotics Anonymous can do that to a person's life, man. Only Narcotics Anonymous can touch you in a way, dip you down in that literature, and bring you up. When the literature said lost dreams awaken, new possibilities arise, everything's back on the table. You want to be a good dad? Come on, let's do it. You want to get a job? Yeah, what's up? What, you want to drive a new car? Well, okay, we could do that too. Young girl just shared with me. She said, I got my first mortgage. I'm scratching my fucking head. I'm like, what? She said, yes, Vaughn, I got my first mortgage. That shit goes through me, man. That excites me because I know she put the work in. I know she's made the sacrifice. You know, when someone tells me they got their kids back, and when someone tells me, man, I got the job, that's the shit, man. Because it reiterates to me that I am in one of the most powerful movements, one of the most powerful programs ever known to mankind. And you know what's so sweet about it? And it says in the literature, it don't matter what color we are. It don't matter how much money you make. It don't matter what area you come from. It don't matter what you did, what your religion is, your sexuality. The only thing that matters is what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. Come on, man. Come on, what? You got a problem? Okay, well, what's up? What you want to do about it? How can we help, man? Where else you going to get that shit at? And you know what? Don't even got to put no money in the basket. We ain't charging nobody for this. You're going to pay enough when you work them damn steps. I get it now. I get it now. I used to say, this program's great, man. They don't even charge you nothing. Oh, your ass is going to pay. Yeah. Hey, Ron, you're going to pay. See, but we don't tell you that. They didn't tell me that. They didn't want to scare me off and shit. You understand what I'm saying? But what you learn is that you're going to pay. And you're going to pay in a way by change. And you're going to be challenged in ways. You know, your morals and your ethics, everything gets challenged in this process. Some of the things that you were okay with, you're no longer okay with that anymore. And it's never nobody else's fault, man. It's me. It's always been me. It always will be me. If I got 1% wrong in a 100% equation, fuck the 99. I'm checking out that one first. That's how this program has wired me. I need to clean my stuff up, man. I need to make sure that I'm healthy to be able to interact and to be able to show up a day at a time, because there's a recovery from substance, and then this thing called emotional. It's called emotional, right? And if I'm not doing the right things, if I'm not positioning myself, if I'm not taking care of my spirit, then I could be clean, but I could be screwed up emotionally, man. And when I'm screwed up emotionally, I constantly got that disease telling me. My disease tells me the most crazy stuff, man. You don't belong here. What are you doing in this meeting? These people know way more than you. You don't have a voice. It tells me that crazy shit. You're not going to be good at this. You'll never do this. I remember when I got accepted to this PhD program, I called my boy Barry up. I'll never forget it. I said, Barry, check this out. I just got a letter from Duquesne University, told me they accepted me in their PhD program. I said, man, I'm not doing that shit. This dude said to me, he said, listen. He said, do it, Vaughn. He said, because if I could, I would. And when he said that shit to me, in that moment, what I realized, this wasn't about me, man. This wasn't about me. It's about showing other people. It's about giving other people hope that you could do it too. My whole time in that doctor's program, they say, well, what are you doing it for? I'm serious, Walt. I'm saying, you know, other people were saying, well, you know, I'd like to teach at a university or, you know, I'd like to do, and I said, I'm like, you know, what's up? And I realized along this journey that it's not, and I said this morning, my whole act of addiction was selfishness. It was all about me. When I first got clean, selfish, man, all about me. And then somewhere along this journey, it shifted on me, man. And I realized that it was never about you, Vaughn. It was about showing other people, man. Just like Ron and Ecker and my man Walt. Just like, you know, just like they showed me. Now it's my turn to show. If you want it, come and get it. But a lot of people want to promise deeds, but they want to ignore that process. See, that process is rough sometimes. Because I can show you some. If I had some footage, I show it to you. You question that shit about what my 25. It ain't all like 25 years. And, you know, you probably, a lot of y'all would say, man, fuck that shit. I'm serious, Walt. Yeah, talk to some of these guys that have been around here for some time. Talk to them, man. Death of loved ones, you know, surgeries that we go through, loss of jobs, loss of homes. I'm talking about with years clean. I'm talking about doing the next right thing and the ball not bouncing your way, man. See, a lot of times when you hear someone lost their home or they lost a job, you automatically think, oh, yeah, what did they do? It ain't like that sometimes. It ain't like that. I walked away from money on the table, man, because my ethics and my boundaries wouldn't let me go that route. That's just painful. But I got to stand for something or I'm going to fall for anything. Damn, I feel so much better, Ron. You see how this magic works, man? All we got to do is get honest and get naked, man. And the healing's in the truth. The healing is in the truth. So I'd like to take this opportunity for thanking everybody that was here and allowing me to, you know, really bearing with me in the beginning there, because it was just some real emotional pain. But I had the opportunity to hopefully help somebody. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.